Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and I'm so jazzed we're going on this whole journey of going outside of normal people that I know in construction and getting referrals and great introductions. Shout out to Laura on a recent podcast from all kinds of great connections through that network where we're all meeting up in the Art of Construction Master Facilitators community, having as much fun as possible. And the main message today, Tribe, is we're going to be talking about that I want to convey to you is that how do we find freedom? We're on this big quest right now where we're all really struggling. There's so much tools and chaos around construction is that we're going to talk about, not about AI, we're going to talk about how to find your freedom through your systems. And I loved how James was kind of pointing this out where he's talking about like freedom isn't vague, even though we kind of think this pie in the sky woo stuff. It's figuring out how to measure it. And owners, what is that measurable that James and I were talking about? Is it leaving by five? Or is it knowing your job costs or whatever those things are? You have to define what freedom means to you and manage those two things we don't have enough of, and that's time and money. And once you figure out kind of the time and money thing, then it's about balance and health and wealth, right? And so getting all those parts of the pieces of the pie coming together to live a full life perspective is what we're talking about every day in the Art of Construction Master Facilitator community. So we're going to talk about how do we build routines, systems, and scoreboards, and KPIs, and all these things. At the end of the day, Tribe, if there's anything I want you to hear today, this is all a counseling for us every day. We never are going to be perfect. It's okay. You don't need a perfect business. But what you do need is a repeatable process. And that's what you got to figure out. And how you're going to benefit from this is that James from JNL helps owners get their freedom back by turning chaos into a system. He talks about how most people aren't struggling because they don't work hard. I know so many people that are working maybe too hard and then having struggling with this whole mental health thing we're working on. They're struggling because the business isn't being run by a process. It's being run in their head. And they're a technician trying to figure that out. And that's when your brain starts getting a little squishy. And that's what we were talking about and we're going to talk about on this conversation of what do you do when things get a little bit squishy? Too many decisions, too many fires, no clear scoreboard. We got to bring clarity first and get back to job costing, cash flow, capacity, those foundational elements of the business. And then we can simply get a rhythm. And once you get the rhythm and you get that cadence and the numbers and you're reviewing and the handoffs of connecting the field to the office that we're always talking about, with those systems in place, then you can continue to slow down. And your business speeds up. And that was a forced pause from the podcast coming into this because not only do we just want to survive, we're here to thrive. And we are not the MFers that you think of in construction. We're the master facilitators, owners, operators, everybody can't helping each other to say, you know what, Tribe? When your brain gets a little bit squishy, you got to have some help. And so that's what we're going to talk about with James about how to get that help. And from my perspective, I'm struggling with how do I get help and I help others. So I'm going out to really have those conversations with people to say, you really have to be willing and understand to help people in businesses. And that's what James, it's these cool callings coming together that we're going to excited for his story. And many people are just grinding themselves to death. And James and I talked about how, you know, business 101, you read Michael Gerber's E-Myth. But the problem is I don't think people are quote unquote revisiting it enough in different ways. So let's move past being technicians to work on yourself and be better at whatever technician you want to be. And so true consulting is not just best practices. It's rolling up your sleeves and working together within the Art of Construction. And that's what James has stepped up to do. So without further ado, let's go get know his story and have as much fun as possible. James, what's your favorite beverage?
Well, during business hours, it's actually Fruit Punch Rockstar. And then after hours, like a little Jack Daniels mixed with some cherry Pepsi.
All right. Cool, cool. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
So it was a trip a couple years ago with my wife and kids to Hawaii. One of the biggest connections, I'm an old surfer, was being able to get out there to Hawaii. We've actually found a really neat little cove, not a lot of people there. And it was really cool, one, to really connect with my family, but also reconnect back with the ocean back in my early days from surfing and stuff.
I love that. And what is your favorite hobby or passion outside the construction silos we're going to talk about breaking down that we passionately call the art of construction?
So my absolute passion, which I don't get to do enough of, is actually going deep sea fishing. My dream is to catch a 600-pound bluefin. To date, I've got about 110 pounds. But beside that, things that I'm actually able to be passionate about locally is I actually have a small herd of goats and I get to shepherd. They're a pain in my ass, but at the same time, I love going up there and taking care of them. And man, this snow event here recently, God, just made it a real pain in the ass. But I love my little goats and I love to shepherd.
Well, what an honor to have you. And shout out to Laura, who introduced us, and all of the master facilitators working together. James Landau, what is your story that led you to being the founder of J&L Consulting, helping the trades and service industry scale profitability?
So, like a lot of other trades guys, I'll say more or less in the landscaping. I started mowing grass when I was about 12 years old. I wanted a new pair of shoes. My dad and mom didn't have a lot of money. I wanted Nikes instead of Kennys. So my dad said, here's a lawnmower, go up the street. Max wants his grass cut. So by the age of 14, I was clearing about $450-$500 a week in cash, having some fun. Life was taking me around. Didn't expect to be a landscaper in the construction industry at all. Ended up actually in the Navy as an electronic technician on a nuclear reactor, if you can believe, of all things. Sold off my first business before I got sent off. Unfortunately, got discharged for medical reasons. So I get out and I'm like, what the heck am I going to do with myself? Well, always make a couple quick bucks on the weekend, mulching someone's yard, pushing lawnmower, stuff like that. I ended up going on a whim out to LA, tried to start a business out there as a gardener. Tried it. Lasted for about 12, 16 months. Definitely different marketplace on the West Coast than it is here on the East Coast, where I'm from in Maryland. Got back here to Maryland, tried to start up again, just couldn't get it going. Eventually ended up working for a guy, and he and I had a disagreement. He was going to let go of my 3-man crew. And I was like, well, what the hell? I was married about a year and a half, 2 years in. I sat, talked to my guys, said, hey, you guys want to go out and try to start this? And they said, sure. So that night I went home, told my wife we're starting a landscape company. basically, that was kind of the start back in 2001. And it was rough. I mean, I grew the business real quick. Within a year and a half, I was up to about $1.5 million, $2 million worth of revenue. Now, people think of landscapers. We think of just cutting grass. But my real passion is hardscapes and construction. I was actually a superintendent during some of those days. I used to build high-end apartment complexes and worked for some other construction companies. It was kind of amazing. Up through about 2000, that was the end of 2007, beginning of 2008, I actually grew a company to about $2 million, but just kept stumbling, could never scale. And that was because of those processes. I ended up going into a merger in 2008 with about a $32 million plus dollar company. And got in there. The guy was unfortunately a tyrant. Left him. Started January of 2009. Called back up my same guys and said, hey, do you want to do this again? And they said, sure. So was able to go ahead and actually start to scale the business. By about 2019, we were doing annual revenue about $3.2 million a year. Had about 22 to 24 people on staff, including some production managers, salespeople, designers. We were doing everything from swimming pools, masonry work. We were also doing grounds management. And it was kind of amazing. COVID, I thought I'd never see the housing industry boom like it did back in the early 2000s in construction. But gosh, COVID, I was actually in Nicaragua. I do overseas construction work volunteer-wise. I've been working in Haiti for a number of years in an orphanage, but a buddy of mine twists my arm, go down to Nicaragua, and COVID was, everything was just shutting down at that time. So I was a little scared. I was getting back in the country, didn't know exactly what was going to happen with myself and 24 employees. So I called up my marketing company, said double down. Well, I kind of wish I didn't make that call, but amazingly enough, within a matter of about 16 months, we launched and did over $5.8 million worth of revenue. Had some pretty good solid systems in place, but I was burning out. And when things started to finally recapture, slow down a little bit in 2023, my wife came to me. Been married for a little over 26 years now. She said, it's time to be done. Over the course of the years, almost lost my marriage. Was definitely didn't have a good tie with my kids. And I figured this was a good time to exit. So I actually ended up selling off parts of my company, liquidating what I could. And then I went and got a JOB. Well, JOB didn't, you know, being a serial entrepreneur for most of my life, didn't quite work out. And so I've got a real passion for small businesses and seeing them to be successful. So I've taken my 30 plus years and I launched JNL Consulting back in the summer of 2024, and have had a great opportunity working with some remodeling companies, landscape companies, guys out there struggling, trying to figure out their way. And basically I work with them helping building out their proper systems. And I've been having some great success stories, being able to walk shoulder to shoulder with other people in the industry, and doing what I love, but not working the 70, 80, 90 hours a week anymore.
Gosh, I just love, I have to go back to the beginning of your story of my grandpa, who I just lost, who is a big mentor of mine. I really wanted to own my own Vietnam back in South Dakota. I was 14. You could have a driver's license. And he said, you know what? I'll help you buy a mower and you take the profits of the mower to buy your vehicle. And that's how my official lawn mowing business. And it was a big riding mower with a trailer. And that was at 14 years old. Before that, I was just doing the neighborhood ones. Well, that turned into in college, it was called Cutting for College. And I ran the rugby team and I ran that business, paid cash for college and had a lot of fun doing that. And hearing your story, I think back how fun it was, but it was still running a business, right? And it's hard to take it back to just going out and mowing grass to a scalable business, right? And I appreciate that story. And also just the challenge of getting burnout, of letting go of the vine, of knowing you're running a business, it's not a hobby, right? And so I really appreciate you sharing all those stories and how we got here today, because we're definitely coming from similar backgrounds on how to build a business, but most importantly, don't lose the things that are most passionate about you and what makes you really tick, right? And so on this journey of kind of bringing perspective of us tough guy syndrome of bringing, you know, I think about Laura who introduced us and she, her podcast and the others are really about us being vulnerable, right? And talking through to say, it's okay if you don't know, but you better go figure it out. And then at the end of the day, what are you really passionate about, right? So I'm curious to kind of kick this thing off of thank you for kind of teeing that up. But what are you passionate about today based on that personally and professionally? And then what are your current short and long-term goals? Because I think there's a lot of people listening to that maybe just getting into the business or figuring out how to get out of the business, and you've kind of done both.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride. You mentioned Laura. Actually, Laura and I have been friends since we were sophomores. Well, I was a junior and she was a sophomore since we were 16 in high school. The funny part is I met her through my then girlfriend, who actually used to go out and hump mulch with me on weekends so I could buy, you know, actually take my girlfriend out. But Laura's become a very close family friend. She's actually, my kids call her Aunt Laura. So she's kind of watched my journey and she, you know, she's tried to help me, you know, kind of get back to being stable and stuff like that. And I know you had a great
how to defy logic. I will leave it at that. And we'll put links in the show notes to tie these all together. And I think it's fair to say to tee this thing up, when I'm learning your story about what you're passionate about and long-term goals, like I'm learning this with the rest of the Art of Construction, right? James, like she made an email introduction that I kind of went out on a whim with her through Erica through that to say, at the end of the day, sometimes you just have this gut that you should go down this path, right? And then you have to turn into how to actually have relationships are earned, not given. So I'd be curious as you kind of say your passion project of how involved in the Art of Construction in Devon, when you say you and Laura go back to 16, well, it's kind of more like 6 minutes with us from email, right? But I think technology, you can really blend those stories together, right?
Oh, 100%. So
what are you passionate about, James?
Well, so I kind of look at it two different levels. Personally, right now, I'm really passionate about my family. Business back in the day kind of took that away. And so right now I'm working 40, 50 hours a week, but the rest of the time is really spending it at home with my wife, getting reconnected with her. We're about ready to be empty nesters, so we've got to get to know each other again. And really kind of just developing and with my kids, getting that, send them off, make sure they're good, ready for, you know, real life. So that's my first, you know, personally, my passion is there. Professionally, and I kind of mentioned it earlier, is this success of other entrepreneurs and business owners. I've had great success. And my big thing right now is I'm out here and I'm really working with people and I want to tick down. You know, we look at government websites, 74% of businesses fail within 5 years. I want to be able to be part of ticking that down, you know, 73, 70, seeing what I can do to help make sure people don't fail as much. I also want to make sure they don't fall in the same pitfalls. I mean, I've lost a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. People can't see this, but I actually lost a finger to the business. Had three collapsed lungs, you know, stuff like that. And whatever I can do, that's physical, but I can even explain the mental side of things. So helping business owners really stay away from the pitfalls and not experience the same pains I've had.
Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. When you say that, I think about this finger that has just a shaved off, because I had this big mower and it took so much time when it would get clogged up. So I got it down where I could just put my hand in there and wave through it, the blade. And this is in college when I'm rushing to try to go drink beers with the buddies. And only one time it like shaved just the top of the finger off, not enough to do anything, but I easily could have lost my whole hand. So it's that learning and hearing those stories to sometimes you got to slow down to speed up and listen to do that, where I'm sitting here like listening to my wife now of my wrist hurting. She's a PA in orthopedic surgery. You can't see it. I'm wearing a wrist brace just to try to listen to others and knowing we all have faults that we're trying to figure out to take those passions and align them. So I'm curious, now that you're in this, shout out to my stepfather that raised me. He said, Devin, I wish I could, if I could do it all over again, I'd retire from 40 to 50 and then go back to another career at 50 years old of figuring out this whole health and wealth world of getting that done, of not trying to put an age on you, but like just what are your short-term goals now that you're in more working, helping other people work in the business, working on the business? What are you thinking kind of short next 2 to 5 years and long-term next kind of 5 to 10 years? I'm curious where your mindset is on that.
So this is something I actually do with a lot of my clients or businesses I work with, and I look at it in two different places. So my next 2 to 5 years, personally, just walking with my kids in their next phase of life, in the young adulthood. I mentioned that earlier. And you mentioned not trying to age me. I'm 49, so considered still pretty young. So I'm looking at my next phase in life. But like I said earlier, I've been married 26 years. I know I've still got another 25 to 30. Love my wife. She put up with me for so long. So guess what? I'm going to devote the next 25 to 30 years making sure that she is absolutely loved, adored, and appreciated.
Good on you. And thanks for saying that. Like, I think it's this weird thing of like guys are don't outspeak that. And we have to get better at that, right? Like, make sure your ride or dies with your wife that you're proud of that and express that and show that in gratitude, not just be a slave to the business, right?
Yeah, and you brought up a really good point. And I think that's one of the difficult parts in the trades. Most of us, you know, we've talked about this. We're not quite right in the head, first off, when we're business owners. But the second thing, if we didn't have the wives and the support system that we had, we wouldn't be able to do the things we do. My wife was a stay-at-home mom. If I had to actually help work with the kids or stuff like that, I couldn't go out there and build the business the way that I did. Now, did I rob my wife of that time of being there and supporting her and stuff? Oh, yes. But again, us men, we don't talk about that, and we need to. And it's part of the failure that we have, and part of the why mentally we don't quite always get there, because we need that encouragement, that love, that support from our wives. And if we actually spent time with them more, we'd actually feel better about ourselves. And there's so many psychology reports on it. And I don't know why we don't always do it.
And that's why sometimes you just need a coach to help make you look yourself in the mirror a little bit better, right? Personally and professionally. What are you, where are you hoping to go professionally?
Well, professionally, I'm basically just, next 5 years, I'm just trying to build out my consulting company and help as many companies as I can. Basically with J&L Consulting, I'm trying to actually, create a platform that others can join me to help build other businesses. That's what I'm really building out right now. So 5 years from now, I'm hoping to have a great platform that others can join me and work with me so we can help small businesses be successful.
And another platform, you're our newest member in the Art of Construction Master Facilitators community. That is a platform where you can connect with James and we can take all of these different silos and put them together. Because if every single person is building their own platform, how are we going to all innovate and work together, right? So you have to have different tools in the short term and then long term figure out how to have more freedom. And sometimes maybe saying that little word no a little bit more of figuring that's what I think is a big part of what you've kind of talked about in your longer term play. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Let's get into kind of talking about systems, right? And so I think we talk about how you have to look yourself in the mirror and, you know, how as a service we provide, growth begins with the solid systems. Can you talk through kind of, I think that's where you kind of start with your coaching and talk through from your perspective, how that all works and why you should really start that way.
Well, you mentioned just, and you asked me, what are my goals? And I purposely kind of put it out there in 2 to 5 and 5 to 10. And so one of the first thing we look at when it comes down to processes, if someone doesn't know and understand where they want to go, there's no way to actually create a path to get there. Once we kind of establish that, what we do is we actually work first at a very high level, depending on what the size of the organization is. And we look at basically what we call 3 different pillars within the organization. Your sales, your administration, and your production. And what we do is we actually work and look at repeatable and scalable processes that actually help tie all 3 of those together. Because the one thing is business owners, we get so scattered and we bounce in between each one. And when the owner is the operator and you're trying to flow all this, you have no ability if you don't have processes to be able to actually, let's say, for instance, you hit your first ceiling. We both know the landscaping world, typically at $1 million. Well, you know, you need either hire a production person or a salesperson. Well, if you don't have a process in place, you have no way of transferring knowledge over to that new hire. That's where we fail. We sit here, we hire somebody in, think they're going to solve all of our problems and think they're going to take over something. But then we get so mad at them because they're not doing it right. Well, most of the time it's the owner's own fault because they didn't sit there, have a process that owner, either one, has established, maybe it's wacky, but didn't transfer that knowledge. So that's a lot of what we do. And it depends on the size of your organization. We look at everything from your lead generation all the way through collecting that final payment. We find out where your weakest processes are, and then we start working there. But the idea is once we have worked with you long enough, we have taught you how to identify and how to establish proper processes so that you're able to go ahead from start to finish and anybody can come in there.
I love that. So building on that, I think it's important people listening, because I think a lot of people are listening to this probably saying, okay, should I hire James? But let's flip this the other way around. Say in your market, if what would you say is the ideal client that you're looking for to say, these are all of the boxes I'm looking to check to say, help me help you. What are you looking for in an ideal client?
Well, one of the biggest things I first look at in clients, and you know this in construction is fairly difficult, is their level of integrity, enthusiasm, and how they represent themselves. That's huge for me, is integrity. But basically, I work with companies that are roughly somewhere between 500,000 to about 10 million plus. And owners that are really looking to be kind of humble and willing to listen to different thought processes and possibly look at changing their ways. So big thing is the owners don't have to be perfect. They just need to be able to be coachable and committed to changing their ways and also working on implementation of the new processes. I mean, this sounds kind of crazy, but the one thing I've learned over 30 years of running my own business is business is business is business. Okay. Now I work mostly in the trade industry. That's where I love to work. It's blue collar. You know, but the idea is I'm trying to take an owner from owner operator mindset up to a CEO. And so they've got to be willing to sit there and say, okay, I'm not willing to be an operator anymore. I want to try to change my mindset. So if there's an owner who doesn't want to change, I'm not going to be the type of person that you're going to want to work with.
So it's pretty simple, is that they're humble and they're kind and they want to grow. And when you say they want to grow, they want to grow to actually being the owner or CEO and create systems for others to have the ownership mindset, is what I heard from you. Does that sound accurate?
Yep, that's correct. Yeah, it's all about, it was kind of interesting. Story-wise, back, it was probably 2019, I was walking down to the office on a Saturday morning about 4 a.m. That's when it's real quiet and telephones aren't going off. That's when I could actually sit there and think. And I went from the concept and the change, and a lot of us in the construction industry, you mentioned E-Myth earlier, it was technicians. I went from wanting to build the best projects to building the best people. And that was the way that I was actually able to scale my business. And so a business owner has got to say, hey, look, I don't want to go out there and put my, you know, hands in the dirt, or I don't want to swing that hammer anymore. Doesn't mean you can't, but you've got to be willing to change that mindset. That is so much what we talk about here at J&L, is about mindset, because it's hard. And it's hard to think about, hey, I'm going to go ahead and let somebody else be responsible. Maybe his name's Bob and he's going to be out in there in the field and he's going to be responsible to make sure the quality of that job is there. Hey, that's hard. Don't get me wrong, but that's a lot of what we do. First, you got to change the mindset. Then we put in the process so that there's accountability. We talk about KPIs, you know, hitting this revenue stream, hitting this, hitting that. Those processes are important, but the transfer of knowledge, the transfer of integrity, the transfer of the level of quality that you want to have within your organization, that's a lot of what we teach. And that comes out of mindset and knowledge transfer.
Especially in the trades, because at the end of the day, there's so much systems that can automate stuff. But at the end of the day, we got to manage the life cycle of the project, and it's people in front of people building structures is really the art of construction. And when we say we're the builders and affiliates building better buildings, we're the ones that are actually doing it. So with that being said, I do think it's nice to have a formal kind of guide. Do you have any type of, like, how does your program work? What are the 3 to 7 less is more steps that you kind of go down of helping people?
Well, J&L, we actually have 5 steps. So step one, we first do a discovery. Mentioned the goals earlier. We get in there and make sure we have a clear understanding of exactly where the owner wants to go. You know, if we don't have an end point, we have no point to get into direction. So we spend a lot of time understanding goals, what's their purpose, things of that nature. Step two, basically we come in, we spend time with the owner. We spend time with the employees. We have a lot of questions that we ask. We want to get a really good understanding of where the organization is. That way we could go ahead and understand what needs they have. Step three is basically after that, we now start to create a strategy and write out a plan on what's our biggest impact that we can do to help make improvements to the organization so we can start to optimize, start actually build. This is the building out, our strategy to build out the processes that is needed within the organization. In step four, after we started going ahead, gotten a strategy in place, and we start doing it and start working through the processes, we actually start to work on refinement. You know, we put them into place. We've gone ahead, started working them out. We started practicing them. A lot of times business owners think that, hey, you just throw all this stuff in and all of a sudden, bing, everything is perfect. Oh, hells no. It's a messy situation. Step three for us is messy. Because, you know, you get that owner. Well,
yeah, you got to break it down to pick it up, right? Yeah, you're saying people are willing and able. And now you get on the same page. And that's where the true transformational stuff happens, is when you elevate and delegate and work to get that help. But then implementing that is you learn by doing. And that's where I think us master facilitators are of. It's we're all lifelong learners learning every day too. That's why we call it the practice of landscape or the practice of architecture, because construction is never done. It's always evolving.
Yeah. Well, you get to the end of that job and you're like, I wish I would have done that a little bit better. And the next time you do that, it's the same thing in the principles of running an organization. So step four, we talk about, you know, we've already started doing it. We've already started practicing it. We start refining it. And that's when we actually have the full controls in place. And then step five, we go ahead, reevaluate, kind of look at things. And then we start looking and enjoying the freedom of what's going on. And then, lack of better terms, we rinse and repeat. Because like you said, it's a constant refinement. But the thing that we do through these steps is we don't make you reliant on J&L Consultant. What we're doing is we're actually teaching you how to do these five steps on your own. That way you can become, you can go back and you say, hey, James, I'm going to go ahead and start steps one through five again on my own and see if I can do it. Because that's the whole idea. Again, our job is to do a transfer of knowledge and teach you how to do this yourself.
I love that. And the stages of entrepreneurship, it's different levels as you work through that of learning by doing. So there's at times you can't just always have a coach running your business. You got to run your business, but then you got to get the right stuff to augment that. And here's kind of that part on the lead in where one of my favorite when I was looking at your social media and you're having fun with when you need to just go out and take a walk and go check out the goats. You talked about, you know, that part when it gets really hard and things, your brain just gets squishy. Talk to me about that and let's have a little fun with this.
The squishy brain. My staff used to come in and sometimes look at me and you could see the haze over my eyes depending on what was going on that day. Did a truck blow up? Did we flip over a skid steer? You know, all those different things. And you're just like, oh, shit, man. And your head's just out there. Well, the hardest part about being an owner is realizing when your brain is squishy and you're not giving your all and you're not able to actually lead people. And again, I think most people in business, they don't realize this. And you need a place to reset. I learned this really early on. I mentioned earlier about Saturday mornings at 4 a.m. That was a huge reset point for me. Don't ask me why my body woke up, but I did. But I had to learn every single day. Sometimes I'd have to tell my, particularly my employees or people I worked with, I need 20 minutes right now. And it might be I closed my door, turned off my lights, just leaned back, and just stared at the ceiling. I know most men, you know, there's these social media things that are out there. And you know, women are like, well, when men are silent, what goes on in their brains? And well, in all honesty, a lot of times it's nothing. And so you need that 20 minutes. Your brain was just squishy. You need to just think nothing. And us men, we can do that. Sorry, women, if you can't understand that, that's okay. But you need to learn how to do that reset. And you need to figure out what's good for you. I used to go for walks around my property. I got 15 acres and I'd go walk in the woods and I'd just disappear. Nobody could find me. Got my small herd of goats. I would actually it was about a 150 yard walk from my office. I'd walk up there and just watch my goats. People need to learn and understand when that brain gets squishy, you're going to lead. Your leadership skills are going to be far less and they're going to suck. So go reset when you're squishy.
I love it. I think that's the big takeaway that I just is like, if you need to reset, and we all have to get told different ways. And, you know, I guess construction speak of if you're getting squishy and you're about to get crusty and turn into maybe being you know, in backup behaviors, don't let it get to that, right? And so do what you need to do to make that right and have a group of people that can help you with that. Find your Laura, find your James, wherever you're at, that can kind of put you in your place when you need it, right? And so as we work to close this thing out, the questions we always ask is, this is for the builders and affiliates to connect the right construction technologies and products. And products means a lot of things, from running a lawnmower to helping people run their lawnmowers. At the end of the day, it's all about connecting them to the right handshakes and figuring out that owner-operator positioning that we call the Art of Construction Master Facilitators community. James, what is your crystal ball when it comes to the future with technology in construction, before, during, or after your brain gets a little squishy and you need the goats?
I love this concept of squishiness, because AI is actually helping. What used to take me 2 weeks in documentations or typing out stuff, you can do with ChatGPT in a matter of 2 hours. I think overall, I think we're going to really find that. And this conversation has been about processes. I think AI is definitely going to help out an awful lot with those processes. You know, I still come from back in the day of trying to find a payphone. You know, you had a pager and stuff like that. And we're getting to a point now where you got a computer on your hip. Technology has actually sped up a lot of things. It is increased revenue, but I think it's taking us a little bit too far beyond and possibly stressing us out too much. And we talk about the squishy brain and finding places to go. I think something, and this is probably not necessarily the answer that everybody's looking for, is we keep forgetting about the human element that's in part of this. And in construction, you're always going to have the human elements in all aspects of what we do. We're not going to get robots that are going to be out there all of a sudden swinging a hammer. We're not going to have, you know, they do have robotic lawnmowers. Pretty cool thing. I actually looked at doing some of the concepts. It's pretty wild. But that customer experience, you know, it doesn't matter if you're in residential or commercial construction, you know, you still got to talk to the superintendent. You know, you still got to talk to the owner, the bankers, all this other stuff. I think we're going to be able to use technology to eat up half that time that you'd be down writing paperwork and actually be able to increase the amount of time that we actually have that human touch. And I think people are going to stop hiding from behind their computers and their telephones. And I think they're going to go out there and they're going to actually start shaking some more hands and things like that. That's where I think my crystal ball, I think we've gone so much, particularly through the late 2000s, teens, we all got hidden behind it. I think we're going to all start reemerging and start coming back out.
I absolutely love that answer. And I've asked this question nearly 400 times. And every time it's back to this, I feel like I should say robots and widgets and gadgets and somebody not driving the lawnmower. But in reality, it's all back to those handshakes, whether you're actually driving the lawnmower or buying the automated lawnmower that goes into a better process, right? And so it's ironic, as we're about to have a bunch of big news around the Art of Construction, around AI, because we're doing so many cool things with construction technology, because we've interviewed almost 400 people around actually living construction. And we all know, if you're not paying attention to AI and construction technology, you're going to get left in the dust, because there's so many ways to work smarter. But at the end of the day, it's still us humans, or what we call the MFers, working together day in, day out, making those paradigm shifts. I'm in nonstop discussions right now about just taking those paradigm shifts and removing the administrative stuff. But what administrative stuff do you need to remove or automate? That's why you need to have the right people helping you figure out where your business needs to go and what stage of entrepreneurship you're at. So I love helping each other. When you get a little bit squishy, what do? You go talk to other humans, right? And that's what we're doing on this Art of Construction podcast. And it's not a fake robot doing these podcasts. It's real humans getting out and having as much fun as possible together. But as we close this thing out, what is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business, James?
You know, I sat here and I had a big thing about processes and determining the outcome. But one of the big things I think we've been talking about during a lot of this is about relationships and that human element. I will tell you the best thing that actually survived me. And I looked at, you got three different types of relationships. You have people that feed into you. You have people that are even keel. They feed into you and you feed into them. And then you have relationships that you feed into. I think as men in construction, we don't look at a balance in the relationships that we have. So I would challenge, honestly, people that are listening to this, is to go out and evaluate the relationships that they have and make sure they have a very even level of people who pour into them, mentors, co-workers or other business owners, stuff like that. You pour back and forth with one another and then make sure you're serving in the community and that you're pouring back into somebody else. I think that's what I really want to leave out there, because if we do that as men, and particularly in a construction, I think we'll find a much healthier environment.
Gold, James. And what an honor to be through. Shout out to Laura and all the people that brought you and I here today as go-givers of giving a little bit of information. And I can't wait to meet up with you and all the other great stories and collaborations and using the right AI to help us build better buildings through the Art of Construction Master Facilitators. James, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story and helping us be a little bit less squishy and go have as much fun as possible together. Thanks, James.
Have fun. Have a good day.